Hi, I'm Matt Heath, and this is my friend Jeremy Wells, and welcome to our daily podcast, which we farted out sometime between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. this morning.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by MyRepublic. Even if you are listening to this courtesy of another provider, they won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits? What great New Zealanders they are.
And don't forget to subscribe, slag us off, and give us a 5-star review. How about that weather? It's a bit nippy. And this is the Matt and Jerry Show, home of Wounding Weather Chat. I'm Matt Heath and this is Jeremy Wells.
G'day, Matt. So, geez, I'd love to be on a radio station that's home of Wounding Weather Chat. That is my two ring of YY.
That needs to be our tagline. Home of the Wounding Weather Chat.
I'm sure we'll just have listeners coming across to us in the millions because New Zealand is the capital when it comes to Wounding Weather Chat, particularly over the last few days. Geez, it's been great. But you've got to say that this weather has been sensational because the America's Cup chat's died down.
Yep.
The Lions chat has died down. Yep. We needed something, and I wondered yesterday whether there is a God, because all of a sudden, a wintry weather blast, and we know that God does control the weather. That's one thing that he does control.
Well, so now we've moved from how about that boat race to bit nipple, isn't it? Bit nipple out.
Exactly.
Burnt nipple.
It's fantastic. Hey, let's have a listen to this. There's some waves coming in. You hear those waves?
Where?
Hear those waves?
Any waves?
Yeah. Hear those waves? Listen to this.
What happened?
Well, that was the waves hitting a train.
Where?
Where was that, Chris?
In Lower Hutt.
In Lower Hutt.
Waves hitting a train in Lower Hutt.
That's
Can I hear it again? How big are these waves?
Massive. Of this.
That's the train.
Whoa! That's a wave hitting the train.
Wow.
It got me thinking, actually, because yesterday, huge amount of snow all up the country. Mount Hutt, particularly, nearly a metre already there in this particular weather event. Remember the snow train that we went on last year?
I do remember it fondly.
Wasn't that magnificent?
It was fantastic, except for that little incident with the Milky Pest where we were followed in the dark by Awakuni's Milky Pest.
Yeah, and also potentially we did it a little bit late in the season.
Yeah, it was a bit sludgy.
It was like kind of water skiing.
Yeah.
But that was late September.
Why do you bring that up?
I think we should do another one. But
another
I think this
one.
Time we should do a bit more of a wintry one. And and I think it should involve trains. And I think this time we should involve a Wellington train as well. And maybe go Auckland train, Wellington train, and then meet in on the St. Platte.
So basically you're saying a massive head of steam train coming from Auckland and a massive head of steam coming from Wellington.
We all colliding in the centre.
Stay at the Remu Park Lodge.
Yeah.
Get on the Wheeze and go skiing.
Yeah.
I can't see anything wrong with that.
I bet you can't.
I cannot see a single problem with that at all.
The Hauraki Breakfast with Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells.
You know I'm going to Mount Hutt skiing next week. Look at this. 117 centimetre lower base at Mount Hutt. 139 centimetre upper snow base at Mount Hutt. 67 centimetre snowfall was the last snowfall.
So this is the Pākehā side of your family ski trip that you're embarking on next week. Meanwhile, Charlie, your other son, the Māori side of the family, he's up. What's he doing? He's gathering kaimoana up north.
Yeah, he's going up north with his Māori mother to gather kaimoana. They had the opportunity to come down skiing with us. That was fine. That was on the table. They were like, no, we're off to get kaimoana. And we've talked about this a lot, but same mum.
So are you going to come back from your skiing trip with Baz down south?
Yeah.
After you go down with your people down there. And you're going to come back and there's going to be a whole lot of kaimoana that's been gathered for both of you as well.
Yeah, I think so.
That's absolutely, massively inappropriate. But yeah, look at all the snow. Look, everywhere there's been snow. Tūrua, Whakapapa, massive amounts of snow there in the North Island. But most of it looks like Mount Hutt's got the biggest brunt of snow.
Well, you reckon I should have just farted down to the Central Platte rather than flying all the way down to Christchurch and farting over to Methven?
No, you've done the right thing.
I reckon you've done the right thing.
Let's go to John. Good morning, John. John?
Hey, this is a
we interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you this. Butt dial.
This is a butt dial, isn't it?
Is it a butt dial?
Hello. What's he doing?
What the hell's going on there? It's definitely a butt dial of some sort.
John from Northcote, are you there? It's definitely a butt dial.
Sounds like he's... Is he building?
I think he just took his pants off. Did he just undo his flow?
This is always the concern with the butt dial, is that you might just come in on a... On somewhere, something that you just don't want to hear.
Yeah.
You come in on some kind of crime and then we'll be accessories to that crime.
Just leave that butt dial percolating away there. Good morning, you're a new caller to the show. How can we help?
Wow. We interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you this. Butt dial.
Now that's never happened. That's a double butt dial.
Well, we're just interrupting the last butt dial to bring another butt dial. This is a new butt dialer to the show.
This is a remarkable thing. This is a phenomenon. This is a real thing. We've got two butt dials going at once. Because let's go back to the other butt dial. This is our other butt dial that we've got. John from Northcote.
I think he's making breakfast, isn't he? Before he took his pants off. Let's go back to this other butt dial. This is a... We don't know where this butt dial is coming from.
Wait. Hello?
This is a driving butt dial.
Is it a good sign or a bad sign that we're getting more and more butt dials on the show?
Also, we're getting more and more listeners to the show. A lot of stations say that. We're getting more and more butt dials.
We'll keep these butt dials going and we'll check back in with them as the morning progresses.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
You know, Jerry, before how we had two concurrent butt calls on the line. Butt call, of course, is when someone accidentally calls you on their phone they don't mean to. It's not always your butt. It can be your... up front as well,
mm-hmm.
Or just a finger gun on it. It's an accidental call. When we had two concurrent, I wonder what the world record is for a radio show with butt dials online.
I'll do that.
It's
now.
Probably just two.
I'll look up on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Let's get while we go to one of our butt dials because they're still there. Good morning. Are you there?
I mean, this one's been going for 20 minutes.
That's John from Northcote there, his butt dial list.
What is he doing?
The record is three butt dials.
Three world butt record dials. Is three butt yeah, dials three concurrent. Butt dials. That's amazing.
Three butt dials concurrently. Let's go to our other butt dial. Good morning. Good morning, Hodaki. Hodaki!
That is technically a...
We interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you this. Butt dial.
So that means now we've got two butt dials going concurrently. Mm-hmm. So that's the best we've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the chances that one of these other 10 calls on the line is a butt dial?
Good morning, Brendan. Darfield, home of John Wright. How are you this morning? Here we go.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you this. Butt dial.
So we now have officially... equaled the world record for butt dials on live radio. We've got three butt dials.
I mean, can we beat that? Do we dare to fly too close to the sun like Icarus and go for four?
Here we go. Good morning, Hodaki.
Good morning, Hodaki. Good morning,
Hodaki.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no!
What?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Wasn't a butt dial.
It wasn't a butt dial.
We got so close. That's so hard to get over three, isn't it? It's that limit.
We got three.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Not your fault.
If you're not calling for as a real butt dial, you're not calling as a real butt dial. We don't want to claim something that's not real.
And look, it's always great to hear from you, Samantha. You're a great New Zealander.
Oh, but this is a good one about Leighton Smith and you boys. But that's all right. You don't want to hear it.
No, we definitely want to hear it.
No, I want to hear
us.
It. Tell us.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah.
Of course.
Mr. Leighton Smith yesterday, boys, after you guys ended your session, talking about someone rang up about, you know, people they think's funny and that. This person meant Jono and Ben were probably one of the funniest pairing in New Zealand. Mr. Leighton Smith said, well, I'd have to disagree with you boys there. There's a couple of radio hosts that are on in the morning who I find very funny.
Leighton, really? And was that Simon Gary?
Now, it was the guys from Coromandel FM back then. and he said it was two men that are on a breakfast show called Hodaki Breakfast called Matthew and Jimmy.
He
said those two would be the very... Yeah, I was shocked. Oh, he reckons you guys are the funniest pairing on radio.
Oh, really? Is that because we did that big speech about how good his pipes are?
I think it's got... Because he's got some battering pipes. Him up for months.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to find it on demand for you, but I didn't have time.
Because I was walking through the office the other day and Leighton came up and said, "Hello, Matthew." And I was like, "Jeez." Yeah. See, he's not putting on those pipes.
Yeah, but it rumbled.
Look, at my whole body rumbled with his voice.
He's got a next level voice. But you've come into his radar because of your columns in the Herald and into that Baby Boomer publication. And he knows that you've been giving him content. And every radio host in the world knows that we've got to have content from somewhere. And because you've been stirring up the hornet's nest of Baby Boomers in New Zealand now for about 4 years while you've been doing a column, and he's been essentially sucking on that teat and benefiting from your stirring. Of course, he loves you.
Well, the thing is, for me, Jerry, if I get a compliment from someone, then I like them. I'm much like Donald Trump in that regard, you know. I like someone that likes me. Even no matter what they've done to me, they just need to say, "Nice shoes," and I'll love them forever, you know.
Yeah, no, look, I'm similar. Well, let's try and find that audio,
Let's find that audio and wow. Self-source ourselves.
Totally.
It's the Fact Factor.
Here's how the fact works. I'll come up with a topic, and that comes up with three facts on that topic. We'll judge whether they're good or bad and work out whether he has the fact factor. Here's the topic for today. In light of today being Bastille Day, France's national holiday, I want French facts from you, please, Matt. You ready to play the fact factor?
Yeah, can I just say this first?
It's racist.
The stuff you were saying before about berets and baguettes and tray bin and civil play and common tuple two and all that kind of stuff is racist.
Why?
Because it's cliches. You're putting things, not all French people are tray bin this and wee wee that, you know, and baguette this.
Wee is a French word for yes. Tray bien is a French word for very good.
Well, they're not all common tuple two, you know.
Common tuple two, like, what do they call you?
Yeah, and they're not all like that, you know, and they're not all beret wearing.
They speak their language. It's called French.
Yeah, and what's
well, Francais,
they're not all
they call
French
it.
Fry eating, French toast making, Frenchy LaRue's.
No, they're not Frenchy LaRue's, and they're not French toast eating because that's not French. They're and not French little, fries are not French either.
They're not all skunks running around, Pepe Le Pew kind of situation, no, you know, pesting on girls.
I never said that.
They're not massive
berets
pests.
Are French. Baguettes are French.
It just feels a bit racist.
And soucoupe play is a French term for please.
I just want to front foot this and say I find the whole thing racist. So if it all comes crashing down around our ears with, you know, the French league, then, okay, I'm just not involved in this, okay?
Okay. Well, I think you're only distancing yourself because today the Fact Factor Weekly mega prize pack hangs in the balance and you're just trying to make sure that you're not going to be blamed for anything if things go wrong. So I understand that. All right, what's your first French fact?
Serial killer James French's last words in the electric chair were, "How's this for your headline? French fries."
That's grim, but interesting.
What a fact. That has the fact factor.
Please go out, you know, leaving the audience wanting more.
Jeez. I guess come in with a gag at the end. Doesn't really matter then, does it?
No.
James French.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good start from you. One from one. What's your second French fact?
The French word for walkie-talkie is talkie-walkie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talkie-walkie.
Oh, is that it?
Walkie-talkie. Is not talkie-walkie. Not le magnifique parlez-vous.
No, it's talkie-walkie.
It's talkie-walkie.
Yeah, no, I know that.
But they'll go, "They're talkie-walkie?"
Everyone knows that.
Fact, you Heath. That's fact.
Is that song Stereo Graham's Walkie-Talkie Man by any chance?
Yeah. Exactly the same as that song by Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay, bad fact for you there, Matt. One good, one bad fact. Right, the hopes and dreams now, the Fact Factor Weekly Mega Prize Pack. Faithful hanging the balance. If you get this fact correct, first person on 0800 Hodaki to call up and congratulate you on winning the Fact Factor will win the Fact Factor Weekly Mega Prize Pack, which is a $50 Hell Pizza voucher. What's your third and final French fact?
in the night.
A group of French thieves called the Vacuum Gang stole €600,000 by sucking bills out of a shop safe through the pneumatic deposit tubes with a household vacuum cleaner. Now, because everything hangs on the balance before you judge this, I'd like to just get a drum roll, please. Because the hopes and dreams of the Fact Factor Mega Weekly Prize Pack faithful hang in the balance.
The Vacuum Gang, you say, stole €600,000 by sucking bills out of shop safes through a deposit tube with a household vacuum cleaner, you say.
$50 Hell Pizza voucher on the line.
That's a good fact.
What a fact. That has the Fact Factor.
That's a good fact.
Good morning. You're a new caller to the show. What's your name?
Fraser.
Where are you from, Fraser?
Tauranga.
Fraser from Tauranga. Is there something you'd like to say?
Yeah, I think that's a good fact there, mate. I think that vacuum cleaner one's pretty interesting.
There you go, Fraser. You've won the Fact Factor Mega Weekly Prize Pack, which features a $50 Hell Pizza voucher. Well done. Great New Zealand. Have a great weekend.
Oh, beauty.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells. The Horeki Breakfast.
So yesterday, Jerry, we had a great opportunity put in front of us to go out to Logan Campbell Centre ahead of the Queens of the Stone Age gig and interview Josh Homme.
That's right. And listeners may remember a few years ago when Queens of the Stone Age toured here, I went and interviewed Josh Homme at the Vector Arena and down in his green room of the Vector Arena. And this is what happened here.
I have been officially on the way, but I actually bought some gifts. Some seasonal gifts, which I bought
some bluff oysters.
Yeah. You may like, you may not like.
Do you like oysters? Have you had bluff oysters before?
I'll sit here. Just move this around here.
Would you like something to drink?
Since you're eating oysters, you might require that.
Oh, what do you got? You see, I was down in their green room, which is huge. It was massive. It was huge. It's like, I don't know, it's the size of a house, basically.
Yeah, at the back of Rector.
Yeah, it was huge. And it had a bar. It had a full bar, tequila, beer, just like heaps of food. It had a children's playground where Josh's children, because he'd brought them on tour with him, he's got three young kids, a daughter and two sons, and that they were all playing. And it was an amazing setup that he had down there. And there I was, and I thought, I'll bring along some bluff oysters because they'd just come into season. It was May, and I thought he's going to love this. He's going to love this because he lives inland. He lives in the desert.
Okay, well, let's put a pin on this. So what happened is you took some oysters in. This is 2 years ago when you last interviewed him.
Yeah.
And you spilled the oyster juice all over the floor of the backstage area and stunk the place out.
You know what it's like when you open a pottle of bluff oysters or any kind of oysters or mussels. The juice goes and it farts out. You cannot stop it from doing that.
Yeah, well, let's put a pin in that. And why you thought you needed to bring him some oysters is a question we don't really need to go into. It was a weird thing to do and was always bound to backfire.
Maybe.
But let's fast forward to yesterday. Mm. And so we get a call by the promoters. Promoters, publicists, saying we need you to be there at 4:20?
Yeah, 4:20.
4:20. Yep. That's a good time to be somewhere. And because it's the school holidays, I had my kids with me. And I thought, we'll just nip down there and we'll go and then I'll take my kids with me, you know, because, you know, they're just going to be, they can run around the Logan Campbell Centre and have a good time. They've been to plenty of sound checks before. And so we arrive and there's a few people waiting outside and it's the coldest day in the history of Auckland City.
It potentially was the coldest. So on my phone it said 7.2 degrees, feels like 3.
Yeah. And so we were freezing our asses off and they didn't let us in. There was no one there except for the few people, hardy people that were lining up to be up the front of the concert. And so we were there and we were left outside for about, would you say 40 minutes?
45 minutes,
45
yeah.
minutes and in the freezing cold.
Your kids were huddled down. I thought your kids were maybe going to die.
Yeah.
You'd offered them your jacket, so you were shivering. It was genuinely cold.
Go to Matt Heath NZ on Instagram if you want to see some visual representation of how cold we were out there. So after so long, to the point where we couldn't believe we could get any colder, they finally let us in and led us up to this long queue of other media that were there. And we'd been given a time that was before everyone else. And so we enter this long queue of every single piece of media you can imagine, and you know all the usual characters. It was like Springfield. You know, you had the sea captain there, Mr. Smithers. Yeah, Smithers was there. Mr. Burns was there.
It's always
the way. Bumblebee
it's always
man.
The way. You see the same people.
Carl and Lenny.
At all of those gigs. So it was a huge. It was like a big green room, and we're waiting there, and we can hear the sound check going on. Queens of the Stone Age sound checking. We're waiting for our interview, and then they finish the sound check and Josh Homme comes through the green room and he hasn't done any interviews at this point on his way to the place where they're doing the interviews.
And he clocks you.
Yeah, and he looked at me And I looked at him, obviously. He's a big unit. Quite a handsome man, actually.
Massive unit.
Big unit. And he comes great skin. He comes through, and we kind of locked eyes, and he's giving me a slightly weird look. But anyway, I just thought, oh, he's just looking at people. And then next thing you know, some people get called in to do an interview, and then some more people get called in to do the interview, and then some more people. Well, an hour and 20 minutes later.
So that's now 2 hours we've been there.
Yeah. We're still sitting there, and we said to the promoter, so what's happening here? We got an interview. What's going on? And then they said to us,
no,
there was an incident last time. This incident here.
I have been food shopping on the way, but I actually bought some gifts.
The oysters.
Some seasonal gifts.
You spilt oyster juice in his green room, and it ruined the entire gig for him. And he doesn't want to do the interview if it's with you.
So the interview was cancelled.
That's
because
right.
I hadn't prepared any questions, so I wasn't going to go in. And I know my sons, Barry and Charlie, weren't willing to do the interview without you or me. So out of the four of us, there was no one to do it. So we left with no interview.
That's right.
And I blame a few people, but mainly you.
Yeah. Well, I felt pretty bad, actually.
Mm. So no interview with...
So that's what happened.
We got no interview.
So that's what happened. It's a good story, you've got to say.
It's a reasonable casual chat, but you've got to say also, can't blame him. You stunk out his entire green room.
Well, I didn't. At least I've been good.
Well, you should be stoked that he remembers you for something.
No, I'd rather not be remembered for that, to be honest.
The worst part was when Ben Hurley was doing a comedian. Ben Hurley was doing a TV interview, and he was put before us. We were put back in the list because of the oyster incident. And when he was leaving, he was like, "If you radio, you're obsolete. TV rules." Yeah. And he was doing the bird as he walked into the
interview. And we said, "Be careful who you poo on going back up the ladder, because one day you're going to have to climb back down, and those people will be waiting with the knives."
And it ended in a rumble, actually. This is the middle of the Matt and Jerry podcast, which
it's
means...
It's not actually. It's not the middle.
Well, close enough to the middle.
Yeah, but it's not the actual middle.
Okay. You are a certain ways through the Matt and Jerry podcast. There's still some great stuff to come, so listen to the end. And
the rest of it's not very good either.
Okay. All right.
So, it's a waste of time. It's a little bit here.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll just shut up then, shall I? Jesus Christ. Yes, so well, we got a call from Samantha for saying that the ZB Pipes, Leighton Smith, had reluctantly complimented us on ZB yesterday. And I didn't believe it. But we have some evidence, Jerry.
We certainly do. Have a listen to this.
I don't want to say this.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't really want to say it, so I'll whisper it. The guys at Hauraki are actually... quite funny from time to time.
They've always been funny.
As opposed to Jono and Ben. I'm just saying that they're my preference, that's all.
It's interesting how deep his voice is. It rumbles through you, doesn't it? It's so good. And then the caller comes in with, go on, say it. Like, the comparison between...
It wasn't John from Gore.
The comparison between Leighton's voice and the caller is, you can... I mean, listen to that again. I mean, you got like yappy little breakfast hosts like us. And yappy little radio guys without the pipes. But listen, Leighton's pipes, they're amazing.
I don't want to say this.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't really want to say it, so I'll whisper it. The guys at Hauraki are actually quite funny from time to time.
Do you know what that's like? It's like putting an electric blanket on.
As opposed to Jono and Ben.
Listening to Leighton's voice is like putting an electric blanket on and pulling a duvet over you and having a like a chicken broth or something, isn't it?
Well, I would say that it's a bit like that. I mean, to me, it's like lying in a feather duvet on a Sealy Posturepedic, smoking a Marlboro Red.
A Biomag?
After you've... and drinking a glass of Pinot after you've just made sweet love to... a mistress or some sort of...
Might like not your mistress.
Well, it's someone else. Oh, it's someone.
Why aren't you involving Tulsi in this?
Nothing.
The mother of your children.
No, of course, Tulsi.
I guess this is an imaginary sort of situation.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Can we just go back again? Because I like the contrast between his voice and the other guy's voice. And also, he starts off, and when he's thinking, just his thinking is such a rumble.
Well, you're going through his brain with him, aren't you?
Yeah, listen to this again.
I don't want to say this.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't really want to say it, so I'll whisper it. The guys at Hauraki, they're actually quite funny from time to time.
You're right, actually, it is.
They've always been funny.
As opposed to Jono and Ben. I'm just saying that they're my preference, that's all.
Yeah, I think it might be making love to a new lady in your life on a bearskin rug in a log cabin in front of a roaring fire.
During a major weather event.
During a major weather event where it's just there's sleet and snow and hail outside the log cabin and you're just, you know, consummating your relationship.
Amazing that another man's voice can mean all those things. I like the way he's like,
and then they go,
it's like the other person's voice is like the horn of a Toyota Vitz.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
Just talking about that 11-year-old Houston area girl who was pulled over for speeding. Turns out her mum allows her to drive, but not normally without her in the car and not normally her brother. I came in with a vaguely
related personal story.
You've got to go like this. I've got a
vaguely related personal story. Yeah.
Your one was about stealing your parents' car and getting caught by your grandmother. And I've got a
vaguely related personal story.
That's a very similar. And I'd like to apologise right now for delaying the punishing weather chat that we need to be getting onto very soon. So I'll just say a bit nipple out, isn't it? And then move on to I did a very similar thing to you, Jerry, where I got very excited about a car in our driveway. It wasn't my dad's car, it was my mum's car. I got very excited about it when I was...
Was it new?
No, it wasn't new. It wasn't one that was used much on the farm, and I got very excited about it. So I started doing hill starts and driving up the road there was a big gravel road that went right through our property that I went up the top, and I started doing more and more daring things around the water treatment area and started...
That wasn't when you lost your...
No, this is when I lost my virginity, but around about the same time.
Okay.
A couple of years after that. But anyway, so I was 14 at this point. And so anyway, I thought, you know what, I'm going to take this car out on the road because I've really put it through its paces without a license. So I took it on the road, and then I took it right down. People from Dunedin will know the Burma Road, Ross Creek area, where there's these really windy roads. So anyway, I started going really my paces, and I was going both sides of the road, and I was sort of getting up on the verges and really, really putting this Cortina through its paces.
Well, you're up on the verges.
Yeah, and then I ran a brand new Commodore off the road, and the Commodore had to skid to a stop in front of a tree, and then it was my dad.
Oh, no.
And so my dad was like, saw me, and then just shoved into reverse, and I was like, I got to get out of here. So I did a Yui, and I zoomed off there, and then a chase ensued
between
me and my dad.
Oh, no.
And then I came skidding around the corner up Booth Road, where our house was, at the top of Glen Lease, and went skidding into the driveway, and then just abandoned the car in the driveway, jumped out and sprinted, and I lived above the barn way in the backyard. My parents had turned it into a house for me because they couldn't stand me being anywhere near the main house, and I just went in there and I sprinted, and then my dad got out of his car and he jumped out of the car and he was sprinting after me.
No!
And so I ran up, and then slammed the door, hid cigs and beers under the bed, and then dived under the bed, and he just was just banging on the door, and I was like, wouldn't let him in.
Oh, no. I imagine the rage, though. Your dad's rage would have just been getting higher and higher when he couldn't get into his own house to get to his son who had just driven him off the road.
Yeah. And worse than that, 1 year later, I borrowed my dad's car and ran it through a red light with a bunch of mates when I was wagging school. And we'd gone to the beach and crashed into another car and rode it off.
Every Friday we race the biggest issues from the past week's news against each other. People ring up and choose one of those issues in the form of an imaginary horse. If that horse wins the race, you win the issue as your prize pack, which features today a $50 Hell Pizza voucher.
Should we go through the field and give away the last horses, Jerry?
Let's do that. Number one, Brian's Pussy, paying $9.15 and $3.75. Luke's got that horse.
Yeah, Bishop Brian Tamaki has annoyed the Greens by saying single women need Jesus. Jesus, or they are open game to all the hoons around town.
This one's still available. Number 2, Rainbow Retardo, paying $7.30 and $2.90.
Christine Carbon, the spy involved in the Rainbow Warrior bombing 30 years ago, didn't say sorry this week. For shame.
The First Commandment, number 3, paying $6.85 and $2.50. Fraser has that horse from Pabst Beach.
Dunedin woman got called a bloody bitch from a landline scammer. Terrible thing to say to a poor lady, but she should have listened to the Matt and Jerry 11 Commandments for a good life. Number 1, never answer a landline.
The Velvet Fog has number 4, Tongue Twist Hospital, paying $4.50 and $1.85.
An old rich guy has donated $50 million to build a Wellington Kids Hospital. What a great New Zealander who will be giving his unpronounceable name to the new building. His name is Mark Dunuchik.
Still available, number 5, one of the favourites, Māori Wettex, paying $3.90 and $1.75.
The Māori Party announced the candidate for the Botany Electric, and get this, he is an Asian called Wettex.
Number 6, Weather Wide on, $5.25 and $2 even. Timmy's got that horse.
The Lions have gone, the Cup's come home, we've got nothing to talk about, so thank God there was a major weather event this week for the media to bang on about.
Paying $6.15 and $3.70 is number 7, Portaloo, number 2, who's Philip from Dunsandel's horse.
One of the stars of Mission Impossible 6 got choppered somewhere offset to do number 2s because they didn't like the Portaloos, but it wasn't Cruise.
And finally, rounding off the field is number 8.
An Australian truckie has come out in support of the NZ truckie who got bashed by boy racers, calling them
All right, three horses to give away there. Let's go to Sandy. Good morning, Sandy. How are you this morning?
Not bad. How are you?
Good, Sandy. Would you like number 2, Rainbow Retardo? Would you like number 5, Māori Wettex? Or would you like number 8?
Oh, we'll go with number 2 if that's all right.
Sure. Rainbow Retardo, $7.30 and $2.90. That is yours, Sandy. Let's go to Taylor, the Shore Thing. Morning, Taylor.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, Taylor. Where exactly on the shore are you pesting in from?
Pesting in from Browns Bay.
Browns Bay.
Oh, that's right, Browns Bay.
Browns Bay.
Oh, I love Browns Bay. Love Browns Bay.
Well, I love Bernie's Bakery, Browns Bay. Jeez, them in and she. I've had some good times at the Browns.
Oh, really?
Great times at the Brownsie over there.
You've done some pesting at the Brownsie, have you?
Yeah, I've done a lot of pesting at the Brownsie.
Taylor, which horse would you like? Would you like number 5, Māori Wettex, or would you like number 8?
Always take swearing, mate. Always take the swearing one.
Okay, you'd like number 8.
That'd be fantastic, guys.
All right, that's paying $12.10 and $6.20. All right, one horse to give away. Let's go to Skinny, who's 65 kgs. Morning, Skinny.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate.
Are you still 65 kgs? Are you on the beer and pie of July?
Of course I am, mate. Beer's my favourite. Beer and pies are my favourite.
Mate, so you're still on 65, or are you nipped up a little bit or nipped down a little bit?
Oh, it's impossible for me to nip up, mate.
Yeah, so you're still 65.
How tall are you, Skinny? Yep. How tall are you?
I still am unsure. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, you're about 6.
I'm short.
Are you short?
Oh, you're short, are you?
Yeah.
65
kg. Okay.
Great New Zealander, and you have Māori Wettex, is your
Māori Wettex, yeah. Well, $3.90 and $1.75. Yeah, good luck, Skinny.
And cheers, luck, mate.
We'll have to talk about our interview experience yesterday with Josh Homme.
Yeah, we do.
And Dean, the keyboardist and additional guitar player, because I tell you what, it was controversial.
It certainly was controversial.
I'd say the term, how was your interview, frosty.
I don't even know about frosty.
It was
frosty it is was a cold. Great term.
It was cold.
Holy crap.
It was like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Jeremy Wales gets very excited about incredible stories from around the world. One caller on 0800 Hauraki decides if his stories are incredible or not. What do you got today, Jerry?
An 11-year-old Houston area girl who was pulled over for speeding told police that her mother allows her to drive, but this was the first time without an adult. Police in Pasadena say the girl told them she was driving her 10-year-old brother home after they stopped her for driving 49 miles per hour in a 35k zone. Not too bad. Police spokesman Vance Mitchell says the girl told officers it wasn't the first time her mother had allowed her to drive, but this was the only time that she was with her brother.
Wow. 11. Wow. 11. Wow. A couple of points on that. Firstly, I've always wanted to live in Pasadena. Ever since I was a little kid, I always heard that word and thought, look, growing up in Pasadena would be very cool. That's why I'm enrolling my kids in Pasadena Intermediate School in Point Shea.
Here's a point. Just a couple of points on that, Matt. Firstly, Pasadena Intermediate
yeah.
is not Pasadena. It's a different place
right.
altogether.
Okay.
And secondly, why the hell did you want to live in Pasadena?
I know, I just always heard that name. You know, when you're growing up and you hear about California, it sounds so amazing. You know, there's Pasadena and there's Sacramento, as well as another place I wanted to live.
Sacramento?
Yeah.
Florida.
I also wanted to live in Boulder, Colorado. There are lots of different places I wanted to live. Santa Fe, New Mexico. There was so many places I wanted to live when I was a kid that weren't Blueskin Bay in Dunedin.
Right, yeah. Well, Blueskin Bay, especially. Blueskin Bay's not even a bay, is it? It's like Anderson Bay.
No, Blueskin Bay's got some bay.
Or Green Island, which is not really even an island.
No, but it's not a referendum about New Zealand. It's a referendum about, Dunedin. It's a referendum about your story. Let's go to lovely Rita Meter May, 29 from Henderson. Good morning. What a great New Zealander.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Lovely Rita, 29, from West Auckland.
Would you like to weigh in on this incredible story?
Yeah, 49 miles an hour in a 35K zone. Jeez, that must be dream through.
Yeah, well, not bad for an 11-year-old. The question was, how was she driving up to that point? I mean, I know that 11-year-olds are not meant to drive, but she's driving a little bit quick. But that, to me, would indicate that she's got a good handle of what she's doing.
Do you think she can do a three-point turn?
I'm not sure. I know in the States they don't have a lot of, you know, they call it a stick shift over in the States. There's not a lot of manuals, so she wouldn't be too concerned about a hill start.
No, she wouldn't be. Because, like, what is it? As far as I know, a manual is actually a form of anti-theft device.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, lovely Rita Metermaid, I'd just like to shoehorn in a
vaguely related personal story
on this particular topic, because my mum had a stick shift and we had quite a long driveway that was reasonably steep. And when I was about 12, she allowed me to practice hill starts in the car because I always loved the idea of driving. And then one week they decided to go away on holiday and leave my brother and I at home by ourselves. And as was kind of the way that you did in those days, to leave a 16-year-old in charge of a 12-year-old for a couple of weeks. And I was practicing the hill starts. Then I thought, you know what, I'm going to take this puppy onto the road.
Good plan.
I'm going to go around the block. I'm ready
good,
to go.
Good plan.
So I took it up around the block, and then the next day I was like, and I was fine, and then the next day I was like, I'm done again. This is awesome fun, because it was so much fun. Like,
good plan.
It was like the best ride I've ever been on in my life. So I did another loop of the block. Unfortunately, my grandma came around at that particular moment just to check on us and realised that my mum's car wasn't there, and went into some kind of flummox panic, completely freaked out, and called the police. At which point, I arrived back home in the car to see that my grandmother's car was in the driveway, and I then got into a massive state of flummox myself and walked down, and there was my grandmother, and was like, what happened? And I was like, I took the car around the block. And she was like, she couldn't even believe that anyone would even do that at 12. I remember her just her mouth.
She get on the gins?
So, yeah, she had a brandy and
and it was all right.
And everything was okay.
Hey, lovely Rita, 29, Henderson, was that story incredible or not?
I think both stories are incredible, thanks.
Hey, I actually would like to shoehorn in a personal story as well, but this theme's already started playing. Let's get it next.
Just waiting for number 8 to come into line. Shown some good form, the 4-year-old out of Death Threat and Dick Racer. Set now. And racing this time in the weekly issue du jour, getting his Rainbow Retardo started well, as did number 5, Maori Wedex. Got a bit of a jump on the field. Meanwhile, Brian's Pussy was slow out of the gates. Number 7, Portaloo, number 2, and number 3, Never Answer a Landline, were up reasonably well. And last early doors were Weather Wide On and Tongue Twist Hospital. 190 gone now, and the field settles as they head down the back straight. Out in front early, here is Rainbow Retardo. On her shoulder is number 5, Maori Wedex. Quarter of a length separates the leaders, and number 8, on the rail, half a length back is Never Answer a Landline. On the outside now is Tongue Twist Hospital. Next is Portaloo, number 2, who fell quickly off the base. Then comes Weather Wide On, 4 lengths back from leaders, and bringing up the tail is Brian's Pussy. Galloping round the turn, 5.50 to go. The field spreads here at Ellerslie. Still out in front is Rainbow Retardo. Next is number 3, Never Answer a Landline. half a length back from the leaders. Then comes number five, Maori Weddix, with her as Tongue Twist Hospital, starting to move up the field now. Also making a move on the outside is number eight, on her shoulder, picking up the pace is Weather White on. Next back, four lengths from the leaders, making up some ground is Brian's Pussy. And last now is number seven, Portaloo number two. 300 to go now as they gallop into the home straight. Coming home strongly on the outside is Tongue Twist Hospital. Still well in contention is number eight. On the inside now is Rainbow Retardo, dropping off the pace. On the outside is number five, Maori Weddix. Here comes Maori Weddix, coming home very strongly. Hard on the whip still is number eight. Never Answer a Landline, going hard towards the finish, but take a look at. She's come from the rear of the field and she'll win the issue. De jour, Giddies will. Second was Maori Weddix. Then there was a length and a half to Never Answer a Landline. Just out of the money was Rainbow Retardo. Then came Portaloo number two. Next was Tongue Twist Hospital. Then came number six, Weather White On. And last by some distance was number one, Brian's Pussy.
Well, there we have it. The issue de jour guineas. What a race that was by... Amazing piece of horse racing there.
4-year-old doing very well there.
Very well.
Thanks for sitting through another Matt and Jerry show on Radio Hauraki.
This podcast was brought to you by our bloody great mates at MyRepublic, the internet service provider that knows no limits. And when you sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code podcast, you will get 1 month free on top of what's already a bloody great deal.
MyRepublic. Like us at times, they know no limits.